Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey Podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I'm so sorry that it's been a little bit of a hiatus. You know I'm at musical rehearsal, as you have so boldly posted on the blog.
I also appreciate how someone said, you should go see Book of Mormon instead.
Did someone write that?
That was great.
That's terrible. I mean...
But funny.
Yeah.
I'd see Book of Mormon. We already saw it, though.
It's a good show.
Book of Mormon's a great show.
Yeah. I would see Book of Mormon, sure. Right. On Broadway, over me in Les Mis, yes, I would.
I would, too.
But this
obviously
is...
you in Book of Mormon would be the best.
that's never going to happen.
Never say never.
We've got a better chance of a lockout being over than that happening.
Hey.
So, dude, I appreciate the free advertising.
You're welcome.
And the show opens 2 weeks from tomorrow. So I guess I better memorize those lyrics.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe want to do that. Yeah. Master of the thing.
Master of the hizzle.
Yeah, exactly. Well, dude, we actually do have real hockey business.
We do?
This week. We actually have done our homework and we have a guest this week, as I mentioned.
It's been a long time.
We have Kevin Kurz coming on, who is the Sharks insider from Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. So we're going to be talking to Kevin in a little bit. I guess, you know, there's a little bit of news. It seemed like things were going so well last week. Everybody was talking. They were talking late into the night. They were talking early in the morning. They were talking on the weekend. And now they're not talking at all. So what the hell happened?
What the hell were they talking about?
I have no idea.
What a buzzkill. They're meeting day after day after day after day. And then basically they break and go, we have nothing in common.
Yeah.
Does it take four dates to realize that?
Yeah.
Boys?
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
Dude, there's something going on.
It is. There's just... It's so frustrating when you feel like now it's almost at the point where we're being like played,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. And you know, where's the truth in this? Have the best offers really been put forth? And you know, I almost want to know at a certain point, like I know they're canceling the next wave of games soon. I just want them to cancel the whole damn thing.
Really?
You know, well, I do at this point, let's just cancel the whole damn thing then. You know what? So we can just all move on. You know, because it's just like having that slow paper cut down the inside of your finger.
Right.
It's going on too long, dude. And the more it goes on, the more irritated I'm getting. I'm getting irritated.
I am too. I admit. And while certainly in past weeks, I've seemed like a stalwart on the player side. The strength of my position is slowly eroding. I think these guys are pretty close to one another now. In certain respects, and I do still maybe identify a little bit more with, you know, the owners trying to get everything, but still at this point it's like, get something done already. You know, you hired these guys to get it done, and maybe this is part of the strategy or part of the tactics, but I don't know if the players necessarily quite appreciate, or the NHL either for that matter, what the ramifications will be. Certainly you saw people get angry after the lockout in 2004, but now that's still a pretty fresh memory for many hockey fans. And so this is now no longer a terrible work stoppage that happened. This is now a pattern of behavior on the part of the owners and the players. And so I think people will see this lockout as a completely different situation and be much less likely to go back. And certainly with, you know, the Twitter machine and everything else, people have more entertainment options out there. And I think
right.
They might go and see Warriors basketball. I think they beat somebody the other night. I don't know. I saw it on the news.
The reason why I still have more sympathy towards the players is that, you know, their stand from the beginning was that they were willing to play this season under the current agreement and have them negotiate during the season.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought for a second that would actually happen.
Right.
But I do believe that that offer was legitimate on their part. And so they didn't walk away. They're being locked out.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you know, couldn't they have at least tried like to negotiate like during the season, and then if it didn't work, like then lock out next year? Like really? Like they had to go this far again. It's just, it's getting old, dude.
And yeah,
it's
the whole thing's just disappointing.
Yeah, it's disappointing. So we did talk to Sharks insider Kevin Kurz,
right,
about this topic and many others.
So check it out. All right, we welcome to Dudes on Hockey, Kevin Kurz, who is the San Jose Sharks insider at Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. Kevin, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, you know, we do a San Jose Sharks podcast. You're a San Jose Sharks insider. We're both, you know, very into hockey. I found myself watching CrossFit, competitive CrossFit, the other day. What are you up to? How are you getting through the lockout so far?
Well, it's no fun. You know, everybody wishes we were playing right now. I'm sure most owners and players will say the same thing. You know, you just still have to hope that they get their heads out of their rear ends here and figure something out in the next couple of weeks. And hopefully we get, you know, I'm still hopeful that we get a 60-game season, maybe 50-game season at the bare minimum then. But, you know, right now it's not looking so good, so we'll have to see where they go from here.
We know, hey Kevin, it's Doug. I'm the other dude.
Yep.
we know that you came over to the Bay Area from the Philadelphia area, and you were actually working in some capacity for the Flyers and even the Phantoms. So what led you to transition from working for a team then to covering hockey in general?
Well, yeah, I actually started in PR. I was a PR guy for the AHL Phantoms for 2.5 years. And then, you know, that was back before the internet was really became a central component of team operations. And from there, I went and worked in Flyers PR department for a year before they gave me all the web content to do. So I was working for the team, but I was lucky in the fact that they let me pretty much cover them objectively for a couple of years. I don't know if you're familiar at all with what the LA Kings are doing with their insider Rich Hammond, but what they were doing before Rich left. Yeah, exactly. But it was a similar situation where basically we're covering the team as anyone else would for the website. I did that for 5 years before coming on out here.
So, having lived in Philly, you know, this is probably the most important question. Pats or Geno's, mm-hmm. Kevin? Pats or Geno's?
Oh, no. The locals stay away from those places unless it's, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning and there's nowhere else to go. But it's funny. Sometimes, and I'm not going to mention any names, but I do remember going there one time at about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and an unnamed hockey player was there waiting for his own cheesesteak. So those are the places that are all open late. But if you're looking for a good lunch place, there's plenty of other good places. You stay away from there.
I'm going to guess Alexei Semenov.
See, I'm going to say, I'm going to ask, how many sandwiches did Joffrey Lupul actually eat that night?
Yeah, no, you're close, but no.
All right, well, I guess we had the happy question. Now we have to, unfortunately, come to the depressing question about the lockout. You know, when I first booked you last week, I was thinking, okay, this could go one of three ways. We could be, you know, cautiously optimistic with the talks continuing. We could be elated that the season was going to start. Or now we seem to be in option C, which is we now have renewed despair. Talks have broken off. The players and the owners seem to be no longer, you know, dealing with each other. You know, how bad do you think this is, in your opinion?
Well, I guess I was one of the fools that was taken in by last week's developments. I really thought they were finally getting down to business, and they were talking. You know, they weren't going at each other in the media at the time. And, well, boy, it's devolved right back into where they were before. They're going after each other. One side says the other side doesn't want to make a deal, and vice versa. So, you know, you hear the phrase a lot lately that it's always the darkest before the dawn. It's possible that maybe this is just a final bit of posturing before they finally get something done, but, you know, it's not looking good right now. And where it goes right now, it really is anybody's guess. I know from talking to players that they're convinced that, not every player, but some players are convinced that the NHL is working on its own timeline here, and it hasn't presented its best offer yet, and at some point the NHL's best offer will be on the table, and we haven't reached that point yet. But, you know, I don't let the players off the hook either on this one. They really haven't tabled any sort of realistic proposals in their own, and last we heard is they still want the $1.8 billion that they got last year, which is ridiculous considering there's not going to be a full season. So both sides are to blame. Nobody's off the hook. And to me, the bottom line is everyone associated in the game, whether you're an owner or a player, should be embarrassed at this point.
Yeah, so the players you talked to in San Jose, I know you've posted on your blog about how, you know, Brad Stewart, Marlowe, Boyle still around. And, you know, have you gotten any feel from those guys since the talks have broken off about, you know, what their attitude is like? Or is this sort of more like, well, this is part of doing business and this is more or less what we expected?
No, I haven't been back there in probably about a week and a half. There's only a couple of guys still in town. You mentioned them, Marlowe, Boyle, Stewart. Patrick Marlowe, you know, he was really outspoken. It was a little surprising because he doesn't usually have a lot to say, but he was one of those guys that said he thinks that the NHL had these games canceled all along, and they never really expected to play in October or November. And Dan Boyle kind of said the same thing months ago, is that he didn't think they were going to get anywhere until the players actually missed some paychecks. And they're set to miss their third paycheck, I think it is, tomorrow, had the season started on time. So those two are obviously on the record as saying they think that the NHL is just trying to put the pressure on before they actually make a legitimate final offer. And, you know, it's up to you if you want to believe them or not.
Well, the shyest man in hockey, Jeremy Roenick, has written a book and has included our beloved Patrick Marlowe as one of the five players he hates the most, which I guess shouldn't be too surprising based on some of the things that he said. I've just read a little bit of an excerpt somewhere talking about how he went to Marlowe's house and, you know, was inspiring him, and I don't know, brought him Taco Bell. I don't know what he did, but have you... What's your take on this? You know, is JR out of line for making these kind of comments? And do you feel like he's been unfairly hard on Marlowe? I mean, we certainly have criticized Patty in the past, but this is pretty aggressive.
Well, I'm actually in a little bit of a unique position because I do know Jeremy from being in Philadelphia, and I know Patrick Marlowe now from my 1 year here. And you know, you talk about two conflicting different personalities. I mean, these are the two opposite ends of the spectrum. I do think Jeremy's probably trying to sell some books. We know how Jeremy is. He's very outspoken and he says his mind. And I do believe that I don't think he's just making this up out of nowhere. I think he legitimately thinks Marlowe could have been a whole lot better than he was. From Marlowe's perspective, or I should say from my perspective on Marlowe, I saw him every game for one year last year, and he was good on some nights and he disappeared on other nights. And I look at the fact that in the second half of the season, when there was no sure thing that the Sharks were going to make the playoffs, and I've written this multiple times and a lot of Sharks fans get on my case for saying it, but He wasn't enough of an impact player night after night down the stretch when the team needed him the most. And we saw Joe Thornton really rise to the occasion in the final 2 months. Joe Pavelski played very well. Logan Couture had a little bit of a fall off, but he was also battling a shoulder injury that I think was hurting his production. But Marlowe was fine. He wasn't on the postseason injury report. He didn't have a single point in the playoff series, and he wasn't enough of a factor down the stretch. And I think Roenick probably saw that player too often when he was his teammate, and that's where the criticism comes from.
All right, well, we'll switch gears a little bit here because there is still hockey being played, albeit not NHL hockey, and we've seen a little bit of news recently with the ECHL. Obviously, the Bulls are in their inaugural season. We've seen Ryan Klo go over there. be on the bench. Mm-hmm. And now we have Scott Gomez, suddenly the superstar of the ECHL, scoring in his first game, which is amazing. Since
yeah, that's his first goal in 2 goals in 3 years or something.
Right. I think he had like an 80-something game streak in Montreal. But so I guess the question is, one thing that Doug and I have talked about before on the podcast is we thought maybe more players might have done this move to San Francisco. You know, Klo maybe playing a little bit, or even some other players. Are you surprised by the lack of, you know, I mean, you know, guys want to stay in town. They want to play a little bit. It doesn't really seem like that has happened. Are you surprised by that, or is that just, you know, this is too low of a minor league and these players are not going to benefit?
It's better. It's better hockey, obviously, abroad. Not in every league. But I think guys look at it too as an experience. I remember asking Dan Boyle before the lockout hit, you know, what he encouraged guys to go overseas. And he didn't talk about the hockey as much as he just talked about it's a different life experience. You know, you're in a different country, you're living in a different culture, you're experiencing different things, different places that you might not otherwise see. And I think a lot of players are drawn to that as much, if not more, than the level of play hockey-wise. So I'm not really surprised. I think Europe's a better option. And, you know, if I was in those shoes, I'd want to go live in Germany or Switzerland or somewhere else for a little while if I could.
Jumping back to our favorite topic, the lockout, you know, there's a lot of different issues that have been thrown around in terms of the bargaining with revenue sharing and contract length. And one thing that we've read mentioned a few times is the possibility of an amnesty clause if the cap is lowered. If there is an amnesty clause, do you think the Sharks should use that, and which player might be the lucky winner?
You know, I did think about that. I saw that reported too. I don't know how realistic that is of happening, but I'm going to throw out one name. I saw Marty Havlat's name was mentioned. I wouldn't go there just yet because Havlat has a pretty good track record of playing well in the playoffs. Marlowe only has one more year left on his deal after this year. And he's still a 30 goal scorer. I'd look at maybe the goaltender, to be perfectly honest. I don't think Antti Niemi had a great year last year. I think he had a good year, but that's one position where I think this team has some depth in the system. But that being said, I think even if there was an amnesty clause, the Sharks wouldn't need to use it. And that's really a credit to them, is they've avoided these long contracts that you know, the overpriced players that they're stuck with for 5 years down the line. They've avoided those kind of deals. And that's just the way Doug Wilson operates. He's never going to go out and find a guy for 10 years and $98 million like we saw the Minnesota Wild do this year. So I think if there even if there was an amnesty clause, I really don't see a realistic option on the Sharks.
So if we do look at this as glass half full and they take everybody's advice and they get down and talk to each other and start a season, you know, the 2004 lockout didn't get canceled until mid-February, so we still have a little bit of runway left for a season to be salvaged. You know,
but I mean, I think there's more. I get the sense, I don't know if it's because of Twitter or social media or what, but I do get the sense that fans are a lot more fed up with this situation than they were 8 years ago when the season was on the line, just because it is still fresh in a lot of people's minds, and it is such a ridiculous situation that they can't figure it out. A way to split up $3.3 billion of revenue.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed on that. I guess the question is, if the lockout does end and we do see hockey again this season, do you see this team actually benefiting from those times off? And I know the same question was asked of McClellan, but does this roster have a legitimate shot at winning? And would they be actually hurt by, or maybe even helped by, playing fewer games?
Yeah, it's so hard to say. I think the one thing that they do have going for them is that they have eight guys, well, actually now nine with Michael Hanzus. They're going to have nine guys on the roster playing competitive hockey overseas. And that's tied for the most in the league, I'm pretty sure, without checking the numbers in front of me. But I think it's Detroit and Boston also have nine players. So if there is a shortened training camp, which there almost certainly will be, it probably wouldn't be more than a week to 10 days, you're going to have a lot of guys on the team that are already in game shape. So that really should only help them out of the gate. And if it is a 50-60 game season, obviously the points are going to be that much more important. And if they can utilize that and get off to a good start, I think it will help.
Kevin, we want to thank you for being on the podcast. I got one more question for you before we let you go. After watching this team just get completely bullied by St. Louis and Doug Wilson's statement of how they're going to play a different way, you know, with Burrish and Stewart coming in and some of the guys they've let go, if the season does start, do you think they've made enough changes to really change the way that they play? And do you believe that that's really the tactic they're going to take, a different style?
Well, they want to play a more aggressive style, and I know last year it all came back to the penalty kill. Every problem they had came back to the penalty kill, a passive penalty kill, and a terrible penalty kill, and that led to the players being less aggressive 5-on-5 also because they were afraid to take a penalty. And then I look at a guy like Brent Burns, who I thought had a good year, not a great year, but his penalty minutes went from something like in the 90s in his last year in Minnesota to 30-some in San Jose. And honestly, I think the guy was afraid to take a penalty. And you could tell he wasn't playing very aggressive either along the boards or in front of the net. I thought with a guy that size, he could be a lot more aggressive in certain areas of the ice. So I do think they are going to change that. I think that's why Larry Robinson and Jim Johnson are here, the two new coaches, to try to install a more aggressive system. But also with Burrish, I mean, you could tell that they want to get a little more juice going in their locker room, too. Burrish is a guy, he's kind of a motor mouth. He's known as a guy that's a real high-energy guy. Brad Stewart is just a respected veteran who still has some good years left in the tank. So I do think they can certainly be a contending team. I still think they're a playoff team. I don't see them beating out the Kings in the regular season, but you know, like what I said before, the Kings have a lot of guys that aren't playing right now, or the Sharks do. So if the Sharks could utilize that and get off to a good start, there's still a good chance they could end up winning the division and make a run here. So I certainly don't count them out just based on the amount of talent they have on the roster. You know, hopefully at this point we'll get a chance to see him do it and get put this lockout business behind us.
Kevin, what happened with Daniel Winnick? I know we were shocked that he was not retained. Mm-hmm. Can you give us any insight on that? Because I know we were very surprised.
Yeah, I thought he was decent. I thought he brought some energy. I think really that what it comes down to is they believe in their younger guys taking the next step, guys like Tommy Wingles, guys like Andrew Desjardins, guys like TJ Gagliardi. The Sharks management believes that these guys are going to be contributors in the top nine, and there just wasn't room for Winnick at this point, especially because bringing in Burrish helps fill up the fourth line. I think it just comes down to the fact that they want their younger guys to make the next step here.
Kevin, we really appreciate you taking the time out from your busy day to talk to us on the podcast. Thanks again. And hopefully,
not busy enough, so.
Hopefully we'll be talking to you again soon about actual NHL hockey being played.
That'd be great.
No All right.
problem, guys.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye. Well, that was cool.
Yeah, good interview. Good dude.
Yeah. Seems like a good dude, and obviously pays a lot of attention to the Sharks, which always gets on our good side. Yeah, I appreciate his opinions on all this stuff, and certainly, you know, it's hard to see an end in sight to this whole thing.
Yeah, I thought there's two things I took away from what he said. The first is that, you know, the general, or not general, I don't want saying it wrong, that it appears that the perception among some of the players that the owners have not put forward their best offer yet, mm-hmm. and that they're sort of manipulating the situation, and that would be in no way surprising at all. And like I said before the interview, it's just disappointing. Like, if that's really the case, like, why are we just wasting everybody's time? You know, that's just garbage. That's garbage negotiating. And then, you know, on a totally different topic, you know, I found the window to kind of ask that Daniel Winnick question, even though I told him that was the last one. I'm a dirty liar, Kevin. Don't ever believe me. I saw the window and I had to take it. And, you know, while not really commenting on Winnick himself as a player, it became pretty clear that, at least from Kevin's answer, that that trade, while we interpreted it as we got Daniel Winnick and Gagliardi was the throw-in, that's clearly not the Sharks. The Sharks wanted Gagliardi.
Yeah.
That's who they wanted.
They wanted the guy that they didn't actually play. Which is another confusing situation.
Yeah, I mean, that appears to have been the strategy here. And at least, you know, in terms of not wanting to pay Winnick that kind of money for the role that he was going to play, and instead entrusting it to the younger players, and then going out and signing a guy like Burrish, who's different, a different player than Winnick, you know, much more of a pest, you know,
yeah,
than, and an effective penalty killer, but not a guy who's going to be a defensive stopper, right?
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of guy, different kind of guy. So an interesting, you know, nothing really bad against Winnick, or that, you know, talks really broke down. It appears that there maybe was no interest to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, which I still find surprising, but at least it's an answer, dude. It's an answer.
Yep, dude. Well, let's actually, you know, as we are not idle, the listener's not idle either, and we got some emails.
We got
one from Ryan here. He says, first off, this lockout is killing me. Aside from that, Steve Tambellini actually implied that he would make a huge trade, which, you know, Edmonton being Edmonton, their D sucks, and so does goaltending. Look at how the Sharks are deep in D and in goal. Do you think DW will make a move? And if so, I'm thinking 22-7-3 for trade bait. So that would be, Boyle, Stewart, and Murray as trade bait. What do you think, dude? Oilers trade partner?
Who's the Oilers trade partner?
Like, would the Sharks be a good trade partner for the Oilers in terms of providing them some D, and then we could just, you know, maybe get Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and, you know, some other guys?
Well, I mean, you've got to, first, let's look at who do we think Edmonton is giving up here. It's not Nugent-Hopkins. It's not Taylor Hall. It's not Justin Schultz. It's not Jordan Eberle.
Right.
Right? I mean, unless they're doing like an Eberle for PK Subban type of thing,
mm-hmm.
which that's not impossible. That kind of trade is not impossible. If you look at, we're going to trade you a guy who had a huge year last year and is a young, you know, potentially, you know, all-star forward for a young, potentially all-star defenseman, and really kind of round out that blue line. You know, I don't see Edmonton wanting to give up Eberle for Dan Boyle, you know,
right.
Not that Dan Boyle couldn't be extremely useful for them for about 2 years,
right?
But that's not the direction they're going. I mean, they're looking for a young player who's going to be around for a while, and the Sharks don't have that to offer.
They don't.
If we had those players, we got to keep them.
That's exactly right. And
right?
They don't need a Logan Couture. I mean, of course, everybody could use a Logan Couture, but that's the kind of thing that they don't really need. They got a ton of centers. They got a ton of good young centers. And,
right.
And, you know, as we've talked about in previous episodes, the Sharks aren't exactly deep at D, which will lead us to our next email here in a second. But, you know, there's no, you know, 22-7-3, you say, Ryan, which is true. Those might be the kinds of guys that a generic team might want from the Sharks should they be weak in goaltending and defense. But the Oilers may be weak in those areas, but they, I think, it appears like they have an actual plan, which is, we're going young, we're getting lots of young guys, and we're going to coach them up and get them to start winning games. And we don't need to go out and trade some of those great young players to get some D in the short term, because in 3 years, those guys are going to be awesome, and you want to have all of them around when they finally get there.
Right. I think of those guys that you listed there. I mean, Brad Stewart is an absolute no shot that they're going to trade him. I bet he's probably got a no trade. He came to San Jose specifically to live with his family.
Right.
So that's not going to happen. You know, Dan Boyle being traded, is that possible? Sure. You know, I mean, it's possible, especially if the cap gets reset. You know, that could be the guy who has some value to a veteran team that's looking to make another run. You know, you look at it, you know, if I was going to pick a team that would make a push for Dan Boyle, I'd have to say it's the New York Rangers. Why wouldn't Torts want Boyle, you know, running the point? You know, with Del Zotto, like, that seems to make a hell of a lot of sense. And I don't want to see that happen. I think it'd be a big mistake if that happened, if the Sharks actually want to be competitive, because I don't think a team like the Rangers is going to give you a Chris Kreider in that kind of deal.
No, they're not.
You know, so...
I mean, we saw them not give up a huge amount for Rick Nash, of all people, and, you know, he's younger and probably a more, you know, brighter star in the NHL.
Now, Douglas Murray, I think there is a decent shot that he will not be long for the Sharks this year. I mean, I think he's in, if they play, I think this is the last year of his deal, and he's regressed. I mean, he's regressed. Yeah. He's gone backwards. The speed of the game is too much for him, and he hasn't, you know, another thing, Kevin Curzon made a good point. I mean, you know, Brent Burns and Murray were considerably less physical last year.
It's true.
Because maybe they were afraid to take penalties because they knew that they couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
And so, you know, you've got a guy who his number one strength is being a beast out there, and there were a lot less. I mean, it reminded me, and this pains me to say this, but it reminded me a lot of watching Kyle MacLaren the year before he got sent down, where the hip checks just slowly went away.
Right.
And that was his deal. Like, he was devastating with those hip checks. And Murray just isn't playing like that anymore.
Yeah.
At least not as much.
Well, I'd like to think that if they can tune up the penalty kill, then they can reinstall some of this physicality with Burrish and the other stuff.
He can be a valuable player in the right role, but he shouldn't be playing 20 minutes.
Right. 20 minutes and not hitting anybody, especially.
No, he's lost that opportunity, I think, on this roster, clearly, with Burns, Stewart, Vlasic, and Boyle and Braun. If he's playing, he's the six. Mm-hmm. He's the six.
Demers.
And Demers factors in there too, although he may never leave Finland.
Finland, the place that I want to be. It's kind of Monty Python song.
It is.
Okay, so we have another email here from Greg, which is awesome. So those of you who are loyal listeners remember that we got a scout for Boston College that were reporting to us with the Sharks prospect.
Yeah, we need to hear from her again. So
yeah, love to hear
right in.
But this is Greg, and he's a Woo Sharks fan. So he gave us a whole rundown. He gave us a rundown of everybody on the Woo Sharks. So I'm not going to touch every player here because, frankly, I'm sure many of them you haven't even heard of. But let's talk about some of these highlights and lowlights. You know, certainly let's talk about Shepherd, because that's a guy that we've really been trying to look at closely. You said started out looking great, hustle back checking hard in the corners, but he slowed down and looking a bit lazy. It looked like more of that. He slowed down a bit in terms of points, but he still thinks he could end up in San Jose.
We definitely need a guy who's lazy occasionally with questionable work ethic. That sounds like exactly the type of player. Let's just bring back Heatley. That sounds like Heatley, right?
Yeah.
Shepherd is Heatley, but without the scoring?
Right.
Awesome.
Right, right. Another guy, Marek Videnski. Did we mention already that he got sent down to the Bulls?
Yeah. Marek Videnski, who had two really awesome years in junior leading up to his, you know, pro debut in Worcester, now has impressed the coaching staff so much that they want to see him play closer to home in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's been sent down to the ECHL, which for a roster player, that's not good. That's not good news for Marek Videnski. Hopefully he can find some semblance of a game playing in San Francisco and some of the offensive touch that he had in junior, because if he comes down here and just kind of, you know, has 8 points in 26 games or something, that's bad. I mean, that's bad news for his long-term future, dude.
Yeah, well, let's find some highlights and lowlights here. He said, as for Mashinter, I think the org is sending him a message. Either he plays to his potential or he doesn't play at all. He's been a healthy scratch a couple of times. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's another guy that, you know, which way are you going, dude? Like, are you going the way of Ryan Clough or are you going the way of Cam MacIntyre?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he does. He compares him to Cam MacIntyre. You know, that was the guy who, remember, was signed out of college. He was like, I'm going to make the team. Yeah. I have a bad back.
Oops.
Yeah, and then never sniffed San Jose.
Never heard from him again. Taylor Doherty, he's happy that he actually scored a goal. He says, so far the defense has been solid, not NHL solid, but an improvement over what we saw last year. He's going in the right direction.
Okay.
Not exactly a ringing endorsement, but I'll take it at this point. maybe the most surprising review is for Senna Akkolatse. He said, I would think if SJ was playing right now and needed a defenseman, Akkolatse might get the nod for the call-up. He's cut down on mistakes. He's learned when to take calculated chances. He's got laser shot quickness and getting a reputation of someone you won't want to tangle with. Now, I like everything about that review.
Yeah.
That's great.
It would be a great story if he ends up playing in San Jose at some point. You know, I just think the reality that I've resigned myself to is that whenever hockey starts again, the Sharks are going to be in the same position they were last year. And at some point, dude, they're going to have to let some of these young guys come up and play. Like, they're just and that we're going to see some of these veteran guys go. I don't know. That's how I'm feeling right now. I feel negative about everything.
Right.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to. All I do is watch Survivor.
Yeah.
Can we please stop? Jeff Kent got kicked out.
Thank God.
I don't know what else to do.
Well, we watched.
He gave the best exit speech.
Really?
He's like. No one even knew who he was, which is like a league of morons. Like, no one could recognize him.
Yeah. Aren't you the guy who fell off his truck?
Hey, wash this palm tree for me, Jeff. And then on his exit interview, he goes, I made $40 million as a Major League Baseball player. And what am I going to do? Win $1 million on Survivor and Obama's going to take 40%.
Nice. Yeah. Good shot. That's a good parting shot.
I thought that was really funny.
Okay.
You always heard sort of what a notorious prick he was, and then it all just kind of came pouring out in one or two sentences.
Guess we found the answer to that question.
Oh.
Let's talk about another guy we've talked about for seemingly years now, many years. Nick Petrecki. He said, started to find his groove, looks solid, physical presence. Been heads up with the puck, cut down on mistakes, got hurt. Hopefully won't be too much of a setback. Again, not bad, but not exactly a ringing endorsement. So
I think there's some pretty positive comments there about Alex Stalock.
Yeah, let's go with Alex Stalock, probably the brightest star. He'll be in the NHL next year. He's back. He's that good. Any talk of poor play was due to him trying to do too much on a previously slumping team. He's the man. So... it's great. We're deep on goaltending, so maybe the idea of amnestying Antti Niemi and bring up Alex Stalock may not be the dumbest thing in the world.
It's good that we have an average goaltender signed for a long period of time.
Still, a long period of time for the Sharks. We're not talking like Rick DiPietro long period of time.
That's true.
Ilya Brizgalov long period of time. Could be worse. Yeah.
That didn't make me feel awesome that was Cruz's answer.
Yeah.
I didn't like really...
That was a little surprising.
I was like, oh, okay, well... Yeah. But in a way, you know, if you've got a guy in the organization who you think might be a real standout, a bright spot, you know, at some point, don't you have to go for it at some point? You know, the Sharks used to do this all the time with their young goalies.
Yeah.
You know, give the keys to Nabokov, give them to Toskala, give them to Kiprusoff, these homegrown guys, and they've kind of backed off that lately.
Right.
You know, with letting the young guy go for it. You know, they didn't trust Grice with anything last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know if that's McClellan. Is that a McClellan versus like Sutter Ron Wilson thing, or is that just that Stalock's just purely not ready? I don't know.
It could also be a function of where the team stands in the league as a whole. In 2001, did the Sharks even make the playoffs?
Let me look in my computer.
Well, I mean, that wasn't Doug Wilson also in 2001, but you know, the year he won the Calder, I don't even know if the Sharks made the playoffs. They certainly weren't like an honest to goodness cup contender the way they've been the past couple of years. So maybe that sort of throws the fear of God into Doug Wilson and Tom McClellan in terms of, well, we're going to play a little bit safer. You know, sort of like NHL coaches don't go for it on fourth down, even when maybe it's the right call. Because if it doesn't work out, then they look like the moron. And, you know, that could be one of those situations, right? So that's the only thing that's the only possible excuse I could see. But I'm with you. If Stalock's so damn good, then let's go.
Look at us talking about players as if there's going to be a season.
I know.
Fools. Fools.
I know, dude.
Dude, there may not be hockey, but in April, we are going to see Anthony Bourdain and Eric Repair live.
Dude, didn't we damage our reputations enough with the show tune start at the beginning? At
dude,
the, top here?
The Dudes on Hockey crowd, if you like this show, then you like Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, yeah. How
I mean,
you not?
This guy yeah. is the king of all that's good about
it's true.
About television. I mean, what?
He's
what
all about beef jowls. He's not about Rachel Ray. It's everything that's good in the world.
Oh, yeah. I love No Reservations. I'm bummed that it's done. I know that he's doing a new show on CNN soon, so I'm
PBS.
Looking. PBS?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. Matt D'Agostini?
I smell a beer bet.
Oh, please.
Okay. Well, we'll look it up.
Yeah, we'll look
it up. Dude, so you're kind of downplaying. You don't want to go?
No, I do want to go. I'm going. Absolutely.
I make this big announcement. We're going out, and you're like,
Well, I also bought Soundgarden tickets today, so I'm kind of excited about that.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Soundgarden tickets. So, yeah, now we're talking about other entertainment because there's going to be no hockey. This is what we've been reduced to.
We got nothing else to talk
nothing
about.
Nothing to do.
So, next week, dude, what do you think? Hockey for Thanksgiving or no hockey?
No hockey. One thing that's interesting, do you think they will cancel the season early? I mean, because Kerr sort of seemed to think that, you know, I mean, like I said before, I did look it up today. They canceled the season on February 16th of 2004. Do you think they will wait that long, or do you think they would cancel the season earlier?
I think, like, playing, like, a 30 or 40 game season is dumb. Like, that's dumb.
What's so dumb about it?
I don't know.
It's still
like,
hockey.
It's just stupid. Like, I mean, like, you know, how is that a real season? Like, that's not a real season. Like, then you end up having, like, you know, a Stanley Cup Finals with, like, Phoenix and New Jersey. Oops, that almost happened last year.
Oops.
You end up having some sort of weird season. I mean, you know, we see how it goes. I mean, like, you play 40 games. Like, I don't know. Like, that just seems like a bastardized version, dude. I think it's anything less than 60 or like high 50s is lame.
See, I don't care. I'd see a season of any.
Oh, trust me. I'll watch it. I'll watch it, but I won't like it.
Please.
You know, you've got someone winning the scoring title with 48 points.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Lame.
Yeah, that is,
you know,
weird.
Oh, look at Steve Ott led the league in penalty minutes with 12.
Right. Lady Bing's a 60-way tie.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems kind of dumb.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do? Like, you play, if you're playing like a 40-game season, so you play like teams in your division, like you play the Kings like once?
Yeah. I don't know.
It just
couple,
doesn't
three
seem,
times.
You know, how is that a fair schedule? Like, what if, you know, you end up, you know, what if you're, you know, the team that gets to play, you know, who's the laughing stock of the NHL?
I don't know. Islanders?
Yeah. You get to play the Islanders four times.
Yeah. Well, they get to play them a lot of times anyway.
Unfair advantage.
Yeah, well. It is
unfair advantage.
I don't care.
I want 43% of your revenue.
I'll take any hockey I can get at this point. Getting a little salty about it.
All right.
But we can still use your emails because we need things to talk about. We're gonna keep going. There ain't no lockout here.
Hey, Bulls are doing good.
Bulls are doing, are they?
No,
they're not.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. Wait a minute. You're trying to fool me.
No, but they keep making moves.
They got Sean Whitney?
Sean Whitney, the evil brother of Ryan Whitney.
The evil one-eyed redheaded twin of Ryan
right.
Whitney.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
The player who was formerly good named Ryan Whitney.
Oh.
Mm. Oops.
Hurts.
Sorry.
All right. Well, dude, I guess, I'm looking forward to seeing some Bulls games. I might try and go to at least another game before the end of the year. I know both of our schedules are pretty crazy here, but, you know, you being a performer and all, but...
Come see the show.
Mm.
You can look on the blog to get tickets, and afterwards you come up and see me and go, dude!
What's with the wig? That's what I'm going to say.
What? I'm glad to say it's a different wig.
Oh, really? It's not that wig? Because that wig is pretty...
It's not. That's not the wig, dude.
Good. Is it like a big fro?
Nope. Okay. You have to come see the show to see it, dude.
Wow. Suspense. That's what they call a teaser in the biz, boys and girls.
Yep.
All right. So with that, we ended, and we'll be back again next week, same time, same place.
Bye.
show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.